from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
Instead of never-ending wars, we are forging peace in the Middle East.
If people are not wearing masks, then maybe we should be mandating it.
We've continued to make offer after offer after offer, and Nancy continues to move the goalpost.
Well, you know, I'll never give up hope. I'm optimistic.
Joe Biden and I are proud American patriots.
Well, the vice president is lying again.
Four more years of Georgia,
that's a problem, ladies and gentlemen. The president's even tweeted about it this morning. He doesn't even know my name. Oh, my. Jill Biden looked like a cat on a hot tin roof sitting next to him during that interview. Welcome back and happy Monday. Glad that you're with us. Happy ACB confirmation day.
Whee!
Honestly, this is a great day in America. At about 6:30 tonight, Central Time, the United States Senate will hold a vote. They had to wait 30 hours, have 30 hours of debate. Basically, the Democrats have pulled an all-nighter standing on the floor of the Senate talking about the fact that the world is going to end, apparently, the moment she gets on the court. You may not realize this. It's like that movie Asteroid. A giant asteroid is heading toward Earth. And at 6:29 tonight, it's expected to hit, which will wipe out every man, woman, and child on Earth. Just so you know.
Mm. Real question, though. There's nothing that the Democrats can do at this point, Senate Democrats can do to stop this, is there?
Nothing, not a zilch.
Okay. Unless, like, a Republican flips, right?
Unless two more Republicans flip.
What would have to do?
Yeah.
And if that happened,
the vice president could come in. If three Republicans flipped, then they could defeat the nomination. Right now, Susan Collins is the only one who said she won't vote in favor. Lisa Murkowski voted a technical vote against her, but said in the final confirmation vote she will vote for her. And Mitt Romney has said he would vote. We don't know which way. We assume for her since he's going to vote. But okay. even without Collins and Romney, you'd still have 51, so we should be okay.
Okay. And worst case scenario, three people vote against her, this nomination gets shut down, what happens then?
Well, I guess they'd have to go back and try again. I don't know if that would doom her or if they could call for a second vote after reconnoitering the troops. I don't know the answer to that. It's a good question. Maybe Mike Boss knows.
We can ask him in a few minutes, can't we?
But I don't think it's going to happen because I think the Republicans, including Senator Josh Hawley, are feeling pretty confident about what's going to happen there. Hey, by the way, let's get to Rodney Boyd, please. Rodney, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing much better, man. I'm glad to be back on with you guys and I'm about 90% healthy, but feeling pretty good, man.
Well, good.
And And to your last comment, I think that you're right. I think that Judge Barrett will be confirmed tonight. I don't think there's going to be a big defection. I think that ship has sailed. So I think she will be confirmed tonight, even if two or three, probably just two Republicans abstain, because they're abstaining because obviously what they feel is politically expedient back home in their districts. But I think she'll be confirmed tonight. I don't think there was anything, Mark, about her hearings that set this confirmation on a path beyond confirmation today. So yeah, this is, we'll see.
Some of the drama that that's being claimed about about the impact she's going to immediately have on the court when she gets seated. I watched the proceedings, and I'm sure you watched some of it, Rodney. I mean, I just can't imagine anybody more prepared for this job and understanding what the job entails.
And in honesty, it was watching the proceedings that said to me, I think it's a mistake to assume, based on a lot of political conjecture, that you know what she's going to do, or you could typecast her. And she handled her interviews as objectively as I've ever seen anybody do. I mean, she just basically said, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be an originalist, whether you like it or not. This is who I am. So I don't think she fell for any of the potential, hey, well, what would you do in this scenario, that scenario, that would give people the ability to get up on the floor and say, as they haven't, that we, you know, whatever. So I think she'll be fine, but we'll see. We shall see.
Well, you know what? I know.
I would be very, very surprised if Ms. McConnell wasn't ready to get her confirmed today, especially where we are in terms of the election being next week.
So we need to educate some people on Amendment 3, because I saw the Missouri Scout poll that came out, and there's a lot of big outside dark money pushing this belief somehow that Amendment 3 is overturning the will of the people and all this hogwash. If they pass it, it's the will of the people. Clean Missouri. What are you seeing?
You know, I'm seeing a lot of, let me just say this. I was in a call, and there were some folks who didn't understand it even now. That's what you've been talking about, who didn't understand what they were being asked to do. And so there are people that this is such a layered and a complicated issue that, you know, the folks who are for Clean Missouri didn't really create a campaign. I mean, who are for 3 didn't really create the kind of campaign to get out and say why they were doing it. So there's a lot of innate sort of mistrust about this kind of stuff on the ballot. And so I saw that the Farm Bureau folks were trying to educate people in their own direct way. But as you pointed out, there is a lot of traction around this idea that something about Amendment 3 isn't good and is trying to do something for politicians. I was actually talking to some folks that had early voted, and they didn't tell me how they voted, but I could deduce they would have normally been people that would have been for 3, but they misunderstood. They assumed that there was something nefarious here. So one of the guys said, yeah, that Amendment 3, people were trying to trick us. But they weren't – it was inverted. So, I got to tell you, you talked about this. Sort of having the ability to run a campaign to educate people was critical and is critical. Now, there's still obviously a lot of voting to be done. But there has been in Missouri a tremendous amount – a record, put it this way, from talking to various elected officials and reading reports. There's been a tremendous amount of early voting in this state, voting – by mail, a lot of thousands of ballots have been cast. And I don't think that on this Amendment 3, the education for the folks who were pushing it was done. I don't think it was done in the way that the well-funded folks who said, hey, this is a settled issue, and pushed at this sort of depriving people of their right. But you're right. At the end of the day, when you vote, it's the will of the people. I just don't think that the campaign was ever put out there in a way where people who were advocating Amendment 3 made the case strong enough for it. And a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people who are, I'm pretty sure, are voting on the conservative side of the column, don't understand what this is about.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing my part. I've got my voter's guide out, and hopefully people will read it, understand it, and share it with their friends so they know what's on the line here. I mean, I've tried to explain it as clearly as I can. There's not a lot. And the problem with it is the people that passed Clean Missouri put a ton of money in it from outside of the state. That should tell you something, number one. Number two, they're also running campaign ads this time. They're funding the No on 3 vote because they don't want to overturn Clean Missouri, which they paid a lot of money to fool people and pass to begin with. So people aren't – the people that are in support of Amendment 3, don't have a big campaign war chest to get out there and counter it. It almost reminds me of, you know, the union issue the last time around, right?
Right, the reversal of right to work.
Yeah,
and
right to work.
Being
yeah.
Sort of, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is a function not just on Amendment 3, but even on campaigns. This is a function of how are campaigns funded? Do people have the ability to put their message out there in a clear way, consistently, Mark, all the way through from the beginning of the issue till the election day? And if you don't, if you're outspent, you know, if you don't have the resources, it's going to be almost impossible the way this particular 2020 media market is set up, where people are being – look, we started talking briefly about Judge Barrett. People, voters are being overwhelmed, and I mean that in the literal sense, with information about a myriad of issues. And so people are kind of now, as they vote, they're just trusting what their gut tells them on some of these complex things. And people just have a fundamental difficult time processing volumes of information that's going to be on the ballot. So that's why the Amendment 3 proponents needed and would have needed, I believe, a clear campaign with lots of resources from wherever they could have found them to put these points on in a way that people, they could say, hey, here's the counterpoint to people that are against it. That hasn't happened. And so I just think you're going to have a very, very, very tough time at this point. And people just don't trust or they don't want to vote for something when they have limited information. And I think that's what you're going to see happen next week. But time will tell. We'll see.
It takes, we have to determine right now how many people who are voting early, all these records that were being told around the country. You have to look at that in perspective. Do you think, Rodney Boyd, that we're seeing a bunch of new voters, or we're just seeing people who would have voted voting early?
That's a great question. I think we're seeing people first right now who were going to vote anyway, and their minds were made for the most part on some of the big elections, presidential and maybe gubernatorial. They just wanted to get it out of the way because there is an anxiety about what might happen on Tuesday. I don't think there's a lot of new, brand new, first time new voters. So I think what your point is, well, questions well taken. I think it's a lot of people who would have already have voted.
That's
you got to remember, this is the first election in Missouri where you could actually vote by mail. So a lot of the votes that are going in have been votes that have gone in early by mail, which also to me lends itself to the idea, Mark, these are people that were going to vote anyway. And I still think, I know people get frustrated when you say, I still think there's a significant number, not enough to matter. There's a significant number of people that actually on some races, governor's race, Amendment 3, others, where they still are trying to figure out what they're going to do and they haven't voted yet. And I think that's where you're going to see the ads and the money that is spent, you know, from, you know, the presidential, gubernatorial, and some of the congressional races and even some of the state Senate races will matter. And which is why people are now still spending so much money in the last 7-8 days, because they know that there's a group of people out there that are still influenceable, and they want to try to influence them.
Yeah. You know, I was reading an article this morning. Apparently, one of the questions trending on Google in terms of the question asked is, can I change my vote? Did you hear this one? Like, once I've cast my ballot, can I go back and change my vote? Because a lot of people have voted already. And some things have come to light since then, I believe the Hunter Biden thing's a big deal. Some people in the mainstream media clearly don't with the tapes and the guy coming forward and the emails and all that. 7 states allow voters to go back and resubmit their ballots. Missouri and Illinois are not among those. I can tell you that. So for all those people that have voted so far, if they're having any buyer's remorse, it's too late.
Yeah, that's almost an improbable process. The other challenge is with so many of these ballots going in so early, as was indicated in some of the by mail states, people are going to be exposed if something happens or comes out in the last 7-8 days that they didn't know. I mean, so that's the trade off with getting to vote early and not having to go on election day and maybe not having to stand in line and wear a mask or whatever. But you do expose yourself to the unknown, right? Something comes out even this week. I mean, what we've seen in 2020 is almost every week some new, unsuspected, unprecedented set of events play out in real time. And so one of the reasons why I've decided to try to wait and vote on Election Day is because, you know, I want to just sort of see what things happen. And there's a lot. And so there are a lot of people that just don't want to wait, don't want to wait. They want to take the safe vote. And so we'll have to see what was revealed this week. We are in probably, well, we say this every 4 years, and I think in some, to some degree, it's true. We are in probably the most unprecedented time from a number of factors in maybe a century.
Well,
you know, and so people need to make sure if you haven't voted that you actually take some time to get information. If you don't understand something, this is the time now. You know, if you got questions about a candidate, I appreciate the ads, but I would ask people to push past the ads and spend a little bit of time sort of researching for themselves, people's records, because it's easy to see ads, and obviously negative ads create negative perceptions, and we often know sometimes perception distorts reality. So I just want people to really take some time, if you haven't voted, to really get up to speed. I was asked some questions about some stuff on the ballot, even some local stuff. I was asked some questions about the judge's retention, and people actually didn't understand, a couple of people that spoke to me about judicial retention, that it's really a choice. They thought you only have one choice, vote to retain, or even if you don't vote to retain, it's just a sort of a rubber stamping. And I said, no, that actually is a real, I mean, there hasn't been a judge removed, but it is the process where if a judge is not doing what you think or whatever, you could actually remove a judge. And people were surprised. They said, oh, that's really not what that's about, right? When they have all those judges, you just sort of, it's like check a box. I said, no, this is actually a vote. So there's just a lot of things that people have to sort of take for granted as we go into this
right.
The ballot that I think is dangerous.
Well, I hope they educate themselves. That's a very reasoned approach to it, Rodney, because when it comes to the presidential choice this year, you know where I am. If you haven't made up your mind between these two candidates, the only thing in the middle of the road is roadkill. I don't know how anybody could not know at this point who they're going to vote for. It baffles me. It really does. Hey, so the...
You know, yes.
Go ahead, please.
No, go ahead, please.
No, I'm just going to say we do have the governorship is going to be on the ballot, of course, in Missouri. Lots of big issues. He's now called for another special session on November 5th. What's this all about?
This is about the getting the legislature to give him what he believes he needs as more final, clear authority on spending the CARES Act funds that remain in the state coffers. That process is very, very complicated, but the governor says, hey, I need to – the CARES Act has to be deployed, as you probably remember, by the end of the year. This doesn't go into the next calendar year. And so they gave the governor broad authority. He wants more specific authority, so he's going to call him back in what would be a lame duck session, because a number of the members will be effectively out, replaced by the winners on the 3rd. He wants some final sort of clear authority. He also has made a bunch of appointments to various positions. So he wants to get those, potentially some of those, confirmed. And then, as you saw in that 3rd tier, if, in fact, there is another federal package that it miraculously gets resolved this week, he wants the authority to deal with some of that as well this year, before next year. And so he's put the call out for November 5th. As you saw last time, there's a little bit of heartburn on both sides of the aisle, more on the Democrat side, but there are a few Republicans that feel like they don't want to deal with this. But he's the governor. That's his constitutional authority. We will have a special session on the 5th, and he left himself some latitude, Mark, to really, if there's something that comes out of D.C. that's a new package, one, clean up the spending on the final package that has to be the CARES Act, also some appointments. And then let's take a look, he says, at what might come out of D.C. that he might have to appropriate or deal with from the feds.
All right. That's
what it's about.
Rodney Boyd, listen, always appreciate your insight on these things, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Big, big, big issues. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Rodney Boyd there, host of Insider Talk every Sunday, noon to 1 on 971 FM Talk. The voter guide is out. Folks, Amendment 3 is not confusing. It's really not. Go on there and read my analysis of it. Decide how you want to vote. I'll tell you how I'm voting. Just go to 971talk.com/Cox. Go to the Facebook page, The Mark Cox Show, and it's pinned right to the top. We're trying to make this as easy as possible. Congressman Mike Bost is up next.
from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Well, we don't even have the bill yet because Nancy Pelosi, and she's coming up. I know she can speak to this, but we've continued to make offer after offer after offer, and Nancy continues to move the goalposts. And as you know, we're up to $1.9 trillion. I personally have talked to the leader multiple times. I've talked to senators multiple times. And at the end of the day, it was the Democrats just last week who said that they weren't going to support a $500 billion deal.
Yeah, there's Mark Meadows yesterday commenting on what's going to go on with whether or not there's any stimulus deal struck. It's all on Nancy Pelosi's shoulders, as it has been all along. We've now got Congressman Mike Boss joining us from the 12th Congressional District over in Illinois. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Good to be with you.
Yeah, good to have you on. You're facing this, I guess Nancy Pelosi's going to call another vote on this, isn't she?
No, I don't. Well, if it is, it will be after Election Day. We wanted to get this done before Election Day. We wanted to get this months before election. And it's vitally important. We've got small businesses that are failing. We actually have more of the PPE that ended on August 8th. We should have went and finished that and then turned that over to help the small businesses and help make sure that people continue to work. But it is, I guess she believes that it is more important to have this lever over the president and try to convince people that it's the president and the administration that is holding us up. There's only one person holding up. It's Nancy Pelosi. And the thing is, we've actually had a bill, so you know this, early on before we left in September, we actually did what was known as a motion to withdraw. It basically, if you get enough people signed on to bring a bill out to the floor, it can come out immediately, but you have to have enough people vote or sign on. All Republicans signed on. We need only 20 Democrats. So every Democrat that didn't sign on is also saying they're approving of Nancy Pelosi's position on how to handle this.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we tried every political move you can, every procedural move that you can. But she is so bound and determined that destroying our small businesses and continue to have our local government suffer is a better move for the election than actually doing what's right. And we've proved with four bills, because you got this 3.0 or 3.5, that we've proved that we can come together in a bipartisan manner and get it done.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Congressman, but when she finally came back with another offer and reduced the amount she was seeking, is it true that she took that money away from law enforcement?
Yes, that is true. That's exactly what happened with the bill. Because, you know, when she came up with the first CARES or whatever she called the bill, it was so expensive that it would have put, you know, we're already putting our great-grandkids in debt. Let's not do it. We need to make sure that whatever we're investing in is things that are COVID-related.
Sure.
Yeah, and then when she came back with the proposal, when we said it's got to be reduced, where she reduced it? She reduced it in law enforcement training and law enforcement investment to try to get through this time. And so she fell right into that trap of defund police. Well, and you know what? Let's look at what she's really doing. When she does that to appease her radical left.
Yes.
You know, the AOCs of the world. And so she, and remember, when she was elected, she only won by one vote. So she has to cow down to that radical left. The average person out there, average Democrat out there, I know in my district, the average Democrat out there doesn't believe in that stuff. But yet she wants to push for that so that she continues to counter her base.
You know, we've been reporting this morning that in southern Illinois, the region surrounding the Metro East is about to trigger a tightening of COVID restrictions. Where do you stand on that? It looks like they're going to shut down some restaurants again.
Let me say this real clear. I have been talking and working with a majority of my state's attorneys, my mayors, also the county chairman. And what you find is that whether Republican or Democrat, most of them, except for just a very, very few, are finally saying, we can't do this to business. Enough is enough. And though the governor has come down and said, you will do this, the reality is that many of them are saying, we're not enforcing it. We're not enforcing it. You know, the thing is, we all know what we need to do. We can stay separated. We can wear our mask if that's what you want to do. And if you're feeling endangered by going out, then by all means, stay home. But the reality is that small businesses, restaurants out there, we continue to do this, we're going to destroy them all. So the reality, we need to make sure that people can make a living with their business. You know, remember, my wife and I, my wife and my daughter, we own a beauty salon. We were 9.5 weeks when this started out of business. And then whenever my daughter rebuilt the beauty salon so that it met all criteria set forth by the health department on what the separation should be and everything like that, we then opened. Well, we're following the guidelines. We're doing what we're supposed to do.
Right.
But the business will collapse if you're not open.
True.
We have to, and we got to actually realize that this is the reality and where we're at. And like I said, if you're afraid of it, don't go out. And Mark, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I had COVID. My wife had COVID. We didn't get it around our area. We were actually in D.C. was where we picked it up. It is a reality, but it's a reality that you have to deal with. My wife had it and had pneumonia with it. You treat it. You get through it. You do your quarantine if you have it. But the rest of the world cannot continue to shut down. We have to go on in this existing normal until we get the vaccine. But we must go on, and people may be able to make a living for their families.
Yeah.
We got to make sure that whatever the cure is, isn't worse than the disease.
Couldn't agree more. Congressman Mike Basta, my guest this morning. Congressman, you know, we're 8 days out from the biggest election that I can remember. I mean, the stakes here have never been higher.
You're exactly right. And for the sake of your children and grandchildren, go out and vote and listen to the ideas, not the personalities. That is important. The policies, not the personalities. And you know, I've listened to a lot of people, you know, that are, well, I'm not sure that I like what Donald Trump tweets. Really? I'm pretty sure I'm not willing to turn over my streets to rioters. I'm not sure I'm willing to actually let China come back and rise up like they were trying to do before this president came into existence. I'm not sure that I'm willing to let the economy fail and slide back. And I'm not sure that I'm willing to have socialized medicine for my family. So the reality is we got 8 days. People get out, vote. Make sure that we turn a better nation over to our grandchildren, not a worse one.
Well said. Congressman Mike Boss, 12th District over there in Illinois. Listen, good luck.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
You bet, sir. Good to have you on again. We appreciate that. Glad that you are all recovered and back at work. That's good stuff there. Let me get to a quick break here. I've got time for your phone call. What say you? 314 241-9797. Have these restrictions gone too far, in your opinion? Do you have any questions about issues that are on the ballot? I've got the place you can go to find those. I'll get to your calls coming up.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
My name is Ron Swanson, and I'm going to tell you everything you need to know about the miserable, screwed-up world of local government.
Yes, indeed, and in some cases, national government. I saw a headline this morning, and I got sucked into it thinking to myself here. I was thinking this inside my brain. There's no way people are that stupid. Wrong again. This is a Yahoo News article that I clicked on. And here's the title. The Electoral College can pick a president who got fewer votes. Here's why and how. I swear to God, the expert they quote to explain the Electoral College in this group, the expert they quote is a middle school teacher in Manassas, Virginia, who was a recipient of the American Civic Education Teachers Award in 2020. Remember the saying, everything you need to know you learned in kindergarten or maybe by fifth grade? That should apply. Why in this country are we still having a debate about the Electoral College? Who doesn't understand how the Electoral College works?
A lot of people.
How can you be in a functioning adult in our society?
Yep.
With the ability to vote and decide elections and not understand how our electoral system works. Our election system. It's mystifying to me. And you've got a group of people, including the squad, and I'm sure Cori Bush will be one of them in the first congressional district, who want you to believe that, oh, we need to get rid of the electoral system. The electoral system guarantees that every state in the union has a say in who's president, and not just California and New York. It's that simple. It's all you need to know. The presidential candidates need to win a majority of the states and get their electors, and some are proportionately larger than others because of their population, in order to be elected president of the United States. And yes, as we've seen in the last election, Hillary Clinton got more votes, mainly in California, which is overloaded with crazy lefties. But Donald Trump won because he won the Electoral College, which is all that matters. This is so simple. It just discourages me that there are enough people in America, or there's an editorial board at Yahoo News who felt like they needed to put a complete article out explaining this again. Should have been titled, "If You're Too Dumb to Understand the Electoral College, Please Don't Vote." We'll be back with your phone calls and Jesse Jane Duff after this.
Get more at 971talk.com.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team?
Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked. High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.